I'll say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning, bringing your greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome all of you here today. I trust that you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. It is good to be together again today. It's good to be able to come and worship the Lord and to serve Him and to honor Him. It's appreciated the service so far, the songs, the Sunday school lesson, the devotional. Appreciated the scripture there that Zach, you read. Just very comforting, very encouraging to know that we can rest, we can trust in the Lord, that He is our rock, He is our salvation, He is the one that will protect us. And, you know, we know as you read through the life of the psalmist David, he had many times he was running and fleeing for his life. He had many times he was afraid. He had many times he was maybe wondering what the next step was going to be, but yet he kept coming back and trusting in the Lord. And I'm just so thankful for the examples we have in Scripture, not only in David, but in many others as well, that we can look to and live and apply to our lives as well. This morning for a message, we'll be looking at the next commandment. We've been going through the Ten Commandments. We're on the ninth one today, so we have one more after today. And then we'll maybe have a message after that to kind of tie up the Ten Commandments a little bit, or to pull them all together, I guess you could say. The one we're looking at today is Exodus 20, verse 16, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." We often think about not lying with this command, and it certainly has that aspect to it. But if we look at it as it is written, it has a lot more to do with false accusations, which include lying, but many times is done with the intent to attack someone's integrity, to tear down someone's good name, or to destroy their character. A little excerpt that I'd found while studying as I was reading through different things, it says, the last commandment we looked at, we summarized the commandment 8 this way: when we steal, we take from the person who possesses it and from God who owns it. When we trust God's providential provision, we will treat people and their property with respect. Someone said it like this about some of the commandments: the sixth commandment protects a person's life, the seventh commandment protects marriage, the eighth commandment protects personal property, and the ninth commandment protects the reputation of others. So then the next question could come to our minds: who is our neighbor? It says that we're not to bear false witness against our neighbor. Well, who is our neighbor? We could spend a lot of time looking at Scripture for that, but we want to lay down the rule that everybody we come in contact with is our neighbor. We see there, like I said, in the second half of the command, who is our neighbor? The word neighbor has a broad definition. It can mean friend, adversary, associate, companion, or fellow citizen. Literally, it means a near one, one who is near you. A neighbor is anyone you have dealings with, either actually or potentially. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, we know that Jesus defined the neighbor as anyone we encounter or come in contact with, or anyone that has a need. So, yeah, we need to remember that as we think about who is our neighbor. Our neighbor is anyone we come in contact with, or anyone we rub shoulders with. Title of the message this morning is Guard Your Tongue. The text we'll be looking at is Ephesians 4. We'll be looking at verses 29 through 32, if you would care to turn with me at this time. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. We looked at the verses previous to this in our last message when we, for the last commandment, but we're looking at the last several verses here in this chapter 4 today. So Ephesians 4, 29 to 32 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So a lot we could look at and think about in these verses, but it kind of sums it up very well as we think of the command that we have before us here today. We want to look at three different parts here today. The first part we want to look at is be careful what you say. Verse 29 there in our text, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We know that, let me say another verse here in Colossians 4, verse 6, it says, let your speech always be seasoned with salt. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Yes, we know that our speech, what we say, needs to be with grace, seasoned with salt. In other words, it needs to balance itself out, that we may know how we ought to answer every man. James 3, I won't take time to read, look at very many of the verses, but we know that James 3, chapter 3, has a lot to deal with our speech, our tongue, what we say, how we act. It talks there a couple of verses about putting a bit in a horse's mouth to guide a horse. It talks about the rudder of a ship, guiding the ship, or the helm of a ship, which is referring to the rudder or the piece that guides the ship. And it's a very small part in comparison to the size of the ship, but yet it guides where the ship or the boat goes. And then it compares that into our tongue. Even so the tongue, verse 5 in chapter 3 of James, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I won't go on to read. There's a lot more there we could look at. Maybe look at another verse or two there later on in the message. But yeah, just a lot of good things that we could think about there. But back in our text there in verse 29 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, somebody said it like this. There is to be no unwholesome talk. There is only to be helpful talk, period. No qualification. The Greek here for unwholesome is a word often used for rotten fruit. There is a good picture. This is a good picture of a negative speech affects a community. One piece of decaying fruit in a bowl will eventually spoil the rest. Every insult, every juicy piece of gossip, every coarse joke is an invitation for others to join in and will cause a lot of damage in the body of Christ. Had to think about there, talking about the one piece of decaying fruit in a bowl will eventually spoil the rest. We had some oranges there in a bowl on the countertop, and this week there was one there in the middle that somehow went bad, and it ruined two or three around it. The others, they themselves weren't bad, but they got ruined because of the one they were touching, and that's what it was referring to, the piece of decaying fruit in a bowl. And so it is with every insult, every juicy piece of gossip, every coarse joke is an invitation to others to join in and cause a lot of damage in the body of Christ. It says there to let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's referring to untruth, twisted truth, deceiving words, destroying words. But rather, it says, but that which is good, the end of verse 29, to proceed that which is good, things that will uplift, things that will build up, things that will encourage, things that it says to use of edifying, that they minister grace unto the hearers. Edify is to build up, to encourage, say things that are profitable to others. Said we'd look maybe at some other verses there in James 3, one other verse, James 3, 13. Says, who is a wise man and doeth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or good speech his works with meekness of wisdom. Another verse, we'll be looking at several different verses as we go down through the message to bring out different aspects of what we're looking at or thinking about here this morning. But in Proverbs 12, verse 22, it says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. As Christ followers, the focus of our lives must be on truth and to build others up by what we say and what we do. You know, to encourage one another, to help somebody along the way. You know, I thought about it just a little bit. You think about the passage there, the parable or the account of the Good Samaritan, the ones that were traveling, they've seen the guy wounded and they kind of went around the guy and kept going on their way. In a sense, when we say harmful things about somebody else, we're doing just as much harm to another person as not taking care of the wounded traveler along the way. When we say things to build up and to encourage, we're doing the same thing that the Good Samaritan did as they stopped and helped the person that had a need. Part two we want to look at is the idle tongue. What is an idle tongue? An idle tongue is empty or insincere, exaggerated or foolish or irrelevant talk. We don't use the word idle as so much in that light today. But verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption." You know, I was looking a little bit more in different places where it talked about grieving God or grieving the Holy Spirit. There's several verses we could look at, but what does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit or to grieve God? You know, when Christians say things about others that aren't true or tear others down, whether it's dishonesty or whether it's corrupt communication, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 31 gives us some more insight into some of that. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." There's a lot of things we could look at. I have several different verses here I want to look at and bring out some more to add to the discussion there. If you care to turn with me, you can, or if you just want to listen, it's fine too. But in Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10, it says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, or out of your mouth, or obscene talk, or talk that tears down. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge of an image of him that created him." There again, it's bringing out the thought of what we say and how we talk about others, or what we say has a lot to do with revealing who we are and where we are at. "To put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him." Psalm 101, verse 5, another verse that adds some more insight to some of this. It says, "Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me, that he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." 1 Peter 2, 1 says, "Wherefore lay aside all malice and guile." Malice could mean all evil, ill will. Guile would mean all kinds of deceit, hypocrisy, or false appearances, and envies, and all evil speaking. Sarah again is telling us to guard what we say. And usually what we say comes from within our hearts, of what is going on within our hearts. A couple more verses back in Proverbs. Proverbs, if you read through Proverbs, has a lot to do with what we say, how we live, how we act. For Proverbs chapter 12, again, verse 19 this time, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Then Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18 for sure has a lot to do with idle words or slander and gossip. But Proverbs 18, 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." And then one more verse in Proverbs yet. Proverbs 17, verse 4. It says, "A wicked doer will give heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue," or a spiteful tongue. So yeah, just a lot more to add to the thought of an idle tongue, of a tongue that is intent on tearing others down, a tongue that is intent on doing ill will or spreading falsehood. Someone said it like this: slander and gossip kills three. The one who speaks it, the one who's willing to listen to it, and the one whom it is spoken about. Thought that was interesting. The one who speaks it, the one who listens to it, and the one whom it is spoken about. Little story kind of fit very well here. We're thinking about an idle tongue and slander and gossip. It says, when someone is sharing something juicy with you, tell him or her that you don't want to hear it because it sounds like gossip. If they have an issue with someone, they need to go talk to that person, not talk to you about that person. Another idea is to reroute the conversation by sharing something positive about the person that they are trying to rake over the coals. When you hear somebody speak about someone, simply speak for that person. And this here was a very new thought to me, but I believe it's a very true thought. Says we need to take this very seriously because, as one pastor put it, every negative remark about someone is a prayer to the devil and is fulfilled immediately. then this little story really makes us think about what really is happening when people gossip about others and talk ill will against others or bear false witness against others. It says, years ago, there was a man who did a lot of gossiping. After learning someone he had gossiped about was dying, he was convicted about his sin. He went to the man and asked for forgiveness. The man immediately forgave him, but he said, I want you to do something for me. I'd like for you to cut open this feather pillow that I have here and take it to the window and dump all of the feathers out. The man was puzzled, but he did what he was asked. Then the dying man said, now I want you to go out and gather back up all of those feathers and put them back in the pillow. The man replied, that is impossible. The wind has blown them everywhere. I could never retrieve all of them. To which the dying man said, exactly in like manner, it is impossible to undo the hurt that you have done to me many years ago by your gossip. I can forgive you, but my reputation is irreparably damaged. One more little excerpt. Just remember, those who gossip to you will also go around and gossip about you. Keep that in mind as you go through life and how you react and interact with those around you. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Part three we want to look at is God's way for life, and we see that in verse 32. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Looked at a couple verses earlier there in Colossians 3. Look at a couple more later on in the chapter, verses 12 through 17. It says, but put on therefore, but when the verses we read before told us what we needed to put off. But here these verses say, but put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, of mind, meekness or gentleness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We looked at that verse in Colossians 4, verse 6 earlier, but just a little bit more about that, of our speech, always be with grace, seasoned with salt, in other words, balanced out, extending grace to one another, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Came across this as I was studying. As I've said many times, I do a lot of reading. Sometimes you don't know what to glean, what to let go, but this one fit very well. As you think of a way to filter your words, use the acronym THINK. T, is it truth? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Is it truth? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? God is a God of truth, and he calls us to be a people of truth. We're to honor and to tell the truth. We're to defend the truth and stand for truth. Somebody said it like this: we need to be a people that are willing to uphold the truth, even if the whole world disbelieves and hates and subverts the truth. But we don't have to look very far around anymore today and see the truth being subverted in the world and churches around us. Are we willing to stand up and uphold the truth? So where are we at this morning? Somebody said it like this in one of the articles I was reading, that a lot of Christians today probably have upheld the Ten Commandments to the most degree, but this one's probably one that a lot of people would have failed in one area or another, of bearing false witness or being a talebearer or being gossiping about others. So where are we at today in our walk with the Lord? Are we willing to put off the things that the Bible calls are wrong and are sin, and put on the things that God calls holy? Are we willing to be kind one to another? And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Are we willing to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you? The command we have before us is, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor or against anyone you come in contact with. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.